Come, Lord Jesus, come. Speak. Speak till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. These are hard days for most of us. Harder days, that is, more difficult days, lie ahead. As I contemplated what I might say this morning, I wanted to move immediately to be the pastor, to say something consoling, to bring a simple word of hope. Maybe I was seeking to minister to myself as much as anyone else. But Landon Carney had a word for me. Preach the gospel and let the power of it fall. Preach the gospel and let the power of it fall. Does the Lord have a word for hurting people? Yes. And it's stay the course. It's stay the course. The hard saying of Jesus has imbued what the Lord has built here at St. Peter's. And God is saying to us, God is saying to you, stay the course. Hear the hard saying. We look at Luke 12, beginning at verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. The fire isn't kindled in the present moment. The fire is to be kindled in a time to come when the earth is judged by the suffering and the passion of Jesus Christ. It's not the fire of the Holy Spirit that we see that animates us. It is the fire of judgment that purifies the church for God's glory. I have come to bring fire, Jesus said. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is complete. He knew that something had to be accomplished for us, something that we couldn't accomplish for ourselves. He had to be filled, submerged in suffering. He had to be submerged in pain to achieve our redemption. It couldn't be done with a wave of a wand. It couldn't be done with a prayer. It had to be done with pain, with suffering, with sacrifice. And how distressed he is until it is complete. Because until it is, it doesn't achieve what he wants it to achieve in us. Our redemption, our reconciliation to the Father. Our ability to put our heads down at night and to know that we are at peace with God. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Jesus asked his disciples and those who were gathered around him, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? Peace on earth. That is the peace that only the earth gives, a contentment, if you will, with the status quo. That is not the ministry and the mission of Jesus. It is to forever change the world. It is to forever establish an alternate way of being human, redeemed in Christ Jesus. Relating not to each other in the way the world relates to each other, but relating to each other in our unity in Christ Jesus. No, I tell you, but division. No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three, he says. they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against mother. Daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against daughter-in-law. The saying is so hard, we've domesticated it. Oh, I understand what Jesus means. That we are to be loyal to him. Yes. He means precisely that. But so much so, that our allegiance to him will at times in our lives cause us to part ways with those that we love and love dearly. We can't domesticate it. This is significant. All of my children delight me. In this present season, as we celebrate Dow's birthday, no one delights me more than him. He gets up in the morning, and about 90% of the time, I'm the one that gets him out of the crib and brings him into our room. Daddy out Dow, he says. Daddy's the one that got him out of the crib and brought him to the room. He's just so full of life, so animated by all that is good. You mean, Jesus, that my allegiance to you at some point in my life might cause me to have to part ways with Dow? Do you mean, Jesus, literally, that Dow someday, in order to be faithful to you, might have to part ways with me? Yes, John. That's what I'm telling you. That's precisely what I'm telling you. And it doesn't stop there. It's mother against daughter. Betty and Kathy have a great relationship. But the allegiance to Christ that they are called to could pit Kathy against her mom or Betty against her daughter. And until we've laid that upon the table and said that that's possible and still said that we will submit, we have not entered into the kingdom of God, not the one that Jesus has established. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Every relationship has to be subordinated. Every allegiance, every loyalty has to be subordinated to our faithfulness and our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's central to being the church that Jesus calls us to be. In the last 2 weeks, we took up Colossians 3 and revisit just a word from there. Here, that is in the kingdom of God, and those who are united by their belief and conviction in Christ Jesus, those who are redeemed. Here, in that place, Paul says in Colossians 3:11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. No Greek or Jew. You know, in those days, the Jews thought they were better than the Greeks, that they were entitled to a position of favor because they were the chosen people of God. Greeks thought they were far better than Jews. We are intellectually inclined. We are bright. We have that gift to offer the world. But what Paul is saying is that a Greek cannot say, I only hang with Greeks, I don't hang with Jews. A Jew can't say, I enjoy a privileged position, I only hang with Jews, I can't and won't hang with Greeks. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Obviously the Jews were those who were circumcised, and for the large part, the Greeks, the Gentiles, uncircumcised. But that cannot be a distinction that is placed upon the people of God who are redeemed in Christ Jesus. Does not matter. What matters is our redemption in Christ. Barbarian and Scythian, slave or free. Can you imagine the barbarians and the Scythians? The Scythians were known for being the worst of the barbarians. And I can imagine there was sometimes a rivalry. Can we get this? Can we be known for being the best barbarians on earth? But no, one barbarian is not better than another. One barbarian is not better than another. Slave or free, those who were of privilege and wealth and power, who could own other people, and those who were bound in order to feed their families, who entered into agreements willingly to allow themselves to be sold, that they might put provision on their children's table. In the kingdom, no distinction. No distinction. But Christ is all, and Christ is in all. That's the common denominator. All of those things have been erased. All of those things have been put away. Because of our allegiance to Christ Jesus, and not to being a Greek or a Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised or even being chief among the barbarians or slave or free. No. The common denominator is that we are all redeemed in Christ Jesus. Believing what we heard Jesus say, the hard saying of Jesus about where he comes to sow division is necessary in order to be the body of Christ, the people of God. It can't be done without it. But there's always opposition to being the people of God. There's always opposition to allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other relationships that we place above our devotion and our time and attention to Him. And it's been so from the very beginning of time. We look at Acts 6 and the appointment of the deacons. Why did it take place? Because seemingly Jews were overlooking Grecian widows. They didn't have the right regard for everyone who had been redeemed in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul lays out this story of those who think that they are filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that they are better than other people. He said, no, that's not the case. Faith, hope, and love, these are the things that abide. And the greatest of these is love. The people who are united together in Christ Jesus have no worldly distinctions placed upon them, and we can't place distinction upon each other. There is opposition to being the people of God in every age. I've seen it over the years, even here at St. Peter's. A woman left our church a few years ago. It was reported back to me. Why? John's gone too far. John's gone too far. What did I do? I let a black man enter the pulpit. Farewell. Farewell. There are no distinctions in the kingdom of God, and there can't be distinctions in the kingdom of God. And if we want to be the people of God, we can't allow those distinctions to be placed upon us. And it has everything to do with who we are. It has everything to do with who we are, and we can't be the people that God has called us to be without continuing to pursue that. Many of you know, most of you probably know, that God has led me to a place to stand down as your senior pastor. I have not wanted to accept His will in that regard because of my love for the people. But I have become a distraction such that the people of God that He has bound together and knit together here in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot continue to pursue this mission together with me at the helm. But it must be pursued. It must be pursued in every age, and it must be pursued by every person. And it must be pursued by the people of God, you, the people of God, regardless of who stands in this pulpit on Sunday morning. It must be pursued. It's not like an option. It's not a negotiable. He didn't come to sow peace and contentment with the world and the status quo. He came in such a way that it would divide people and the fire would purify and separate mother from daughter and father from son. And make our relationships as Christians, as those redeemed in Christ Jesus, more important than all the other relationships that have been established. And you have to continue to pursue as the people of God that vision, because it's not a vision that he's put upon St. Peter's. It's the vision that he's put upon the kingdom. This is not about a church. This is about the kingdom of God. And if you are to continue to enter into it, that is the position that you have to adopt. That is what you have to pursue with a passion. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do you do it? You have to cast your lot with Christ. You have to cast your lot with Christ. Erland Barnum is well known for saying that if you don't get it right at the outset, everything else that follows will be wrong. We have to cast our lot with Christ. You cast your lot with Christ. Your allegiance is to him and to him alone. And every other relationship is subordinated to that. And it means that if we are to follow him, we have to be willing to stand alone, even without our family and friends, for what is right, for what is good, for the vision that God has given us, where people are united and there are no distinctions. I've laid out that vision again and again here at St. Peter's. How have you heard me say it? I suspect it's especially familiar to those of you who are new to the church, because I say often, if I've said it one time, I've said it a couple of hundred over the last 7.5 years, that we are convinced here at St. Peter's that every person who is present is here because the Holy Spirit orchestrated that presence. And we will honor that. And so the first person here is treated as the last person who's come. And the last person who's come is treated as the first person who was here. There is no distinction. There is no distinction. That vision has to be pursued. And the greatest enemy of the kingdom is our allegiance to family, is our allegiance to friends. If God is saying something as hard and as difficult for me to hear is that, John, yes, your allegiance to me one day may require you to part ways with your son, or John, you need to understand that your son's allegiance to me one day may cause him to part ways with you. If that kind of relationship is called into question, if that kind of a relationship has to be examined under the gospel, what doesn't? Every relationship does. Whether it was forged because we're members of the Republican Party, or if it's forged because we're Democrats, or if it's forged because we're a part of a fraternal organization, or if it's forged because we're a part of the Junior League. All of those relationships have to be subordinated to our lordship, I mean our fidelity and our loyalty to the lordship of Jesus Christ. In the kingdom of God, whites don't stand with whites. Blacks don't stand with blacks. Rich don't stand with rich. Poor don't stand with poor. Men don't stand with men. Women don't stand with women. We stand together in Jesus Christ. In him alone. And no decision involving the kingdom of God can be made on loyalties that were rooted elsewhere. With lifelong friends, with members of our hunting club, with those with whom we fish, with those with whom we ski, or wakeboard. None of those take a priority over our standing together in Christ Jesus. And how sweet it is when it happens. With another pastor, I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen what it looks like. In fact, I've entered into it, and some of you have walked with me. Some of you have experienced that very thing. I hope none of us ever miss how extraordinary St. Peter's is. That a church on Montevallo Road in Mountain Brook, Alabama, would draw people from 25 zip codes, 6 different continents. How did that happen? It happened because the people of God subordinated every relationship to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's the way we can speak about it in a general way. But I've seen it personally. I've experienced it personally. I think of a Bible study that Ricky Brooks started last year, and in that study, they were studying John Piper, and I think of all the people that were assembled for that study. Ricky's a man from rural Georgia, and part of that group was someone from Sand Mountain, 2 men from Mountain Brook. Imagine this, 1 from the plains. These are men who had no reason to gather. No common experience in life, really, other than their deep convictions about what God is doing for them in Jesus. It is so sweet to see it. It's so sweet to see it. For me, one of the most profound ways in which I've experienced it personally is to stand in the cathedral in Ruwengeri, Rwanda, with this man, Glandon Carney. A man who's from the Bay Area of California and a redneck from Montgomery. And we stood in that church and preached Jesus and reconciliation to a people who had been destroyed by genocide. And the only reason we could do it, because God knit this black man and this white man together in Jesus. It would not be possible in any other way. There's such a sweetness about what God wants to achieve in us. We often stand in the way of it happening, but we can't. You can't. Regardless of who stands at this lectern, regardless of who's called the senior pastor of this church, that is the vision that God has set before all of his people, all of the time, everywhere. And with passion and with zeal, you have to pursue it. I have to pursue it. If we are to be the people of God, if we are to stop playing church and be engaged in the kingdom and experience the King, there can be no higher calling. There can be no greater passion. May it be for us in the days ahead. Amen.